The Bible reading this morning is from Matthew 1, 18 to 25. Now the birth of Jesus Christ took place in this way. When his mother Mary had been betrothed to Joseph, before they came together, she was found to be with child from the Holy Spirit. And her husband Joseph, being a just man and unwilling to put her to shame, resolved to divorce her quietly. But as he considered these things, behold, an angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, son of David, do not fear to take Mary as your wife, for that which is conceived in her is from the Holy Spirit. She will bear a son, and you shall call his name Jesus, for he will save his people from their sins. All this took place to fulfill what the Lord had spoken by the prophet. Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son, and they shall call his name Emmanuel, which means God with us. When Joseph woke from sleep, he did as the angel of the Lord commanded him. He took his wife, but knew her not until she had given birth to a son, and he called his name Jesus. Amen.
We know these stories from the Bible if you've been around church any length of time. And so as we come again to look at what God did and seek to go, God, what are you saying to us this year out of this story? What laid on me was a word for each of the four sermons I'm going to do on Christmas. The first one was faithful. God is faithful. He ended the Old Testament with, I will send the prophet Elijah before the good and fearsome day of the Lord. And he started the New Testament with the birth of John the Baptist, who is the type of Elijah. The second word was obedience. Now I put in there, to the appropriate authority. Obedience is not just something you do everywhere to everything. And I put in that there are three places of obedience. There's normal obedience to the things you know are normal. There's special obedience when God reaches in and says, I want this particular thing of you at this particular time. And the amazing thing, the example of God's obedience, takes away our, you know, I don't want to do that. You think Jesus did sometimes? He's an example of being obedient. And as I was preparing this week, a quote came up on me that I thought I summed up the last two messages. Mary's yes wasn't because of how strong she was. It was about how faithful she knows God has always been. Oh, I like that. So this week we come to Joseph. Again, as I said when I was talking about Mary, I believe she was a good person. Of good character. God didn't pick a rat bag and say, I'll change you. He does that for some people and he changes them. But some people are basically good people and God says, I'll keep growing you and shaping you. And I think Mary was one of those. I believe Joseph was one of those. It says in here, he was obedient to the law, faithful to the law. Now he's prepared to marry this beautiful young lady who thinks she's great and suddenly finds out she's pregnant. My goodness, I can't imagine what's going on in his head, but it's not going to be good. He's stuck with this. Whoa. What do I do with this? Well, I think the best thing, you know, I don't know what's happened for her, but, you know, I don't want her killed, and so I'll just do this divorce quietly. And then, as he's sleeping, an angel turns up and says, Joseph, it's all right. Go marry her. So Joseph acts in trust to God and says, righto, let's go do it. There was trust. The word that comes to mind with Joseph is trust. Trust given the evidence. You don't just trust anything and everywhere. Trust God with the things outside of our space. And then the third aspect of trust that came to me as we looked at this was, how amazing is it that God trusts us? So let's look at these. Trust given the evidence. He hears Mary's pregnant. He's shocked. I'm sure he's shocked. He knew she was a girl of good character. So what's the evidence here? He's like, she comes up and says, I'm pregnant, and tells the story. Okay, this is not a normal story. An angel came up and said, I'm going to conceive because God did something, the miracle. Whoa. You reckon there's any chance he went to the parents and goes, are you swallowing this story? They were. And she says, by the way, I'm going to visit my cousin Elizabeth. You remember the one I told you about, who's been through menopause 5 years ago? She's pregnant. Huh? That's checkable evidence. God didn't expect Joseph to just come out of the middle of nowhere and trust. Yes. It was an act of faith and trust, but he gave him some evidence. He says, look at Mary's character. Look at the story she's telling. Look at what her family's saying about it. Look at the fact that this old lady's got pregnant. God says, I'm involved in this. And Joseph's still scratching his head. And then the angel turns up and says, Joseph, it's okay, mate. I'm the one who went and told Mary she's going to have a baby. It's okay. So Joseph steps out in trust. So the question is, do we trust God? Absolutely. We should trust God. Absolutely. But how do you know when it's God involved? That's the question in here. Did Joseph trust God? Absolutely. But when a young lady comes up and says, I'm pregnant, it was God. Yeah. God gives enough evidence to enable us to trust. In this case, there was Mary's character, there was Elizabeth, there was the angel coming to him. But it still requires faith. So when it comes to trust, I'd encourage you, trust God absolutely. But in that, look for how he's showing you that he's trustworthy here. Trust yourself. Not so much. I like it. Jeremiah 17:9 says, the heart is deceitful above all things. Should we trust ourselves? Heck no. Not in everything. Have any of you ever talked yourself into something that you liked the idea of, that you wasn't? That there was a niggling thought there that it's probably not a great idea, but you talked yourself into it anyway. I doubt there'd be anyone who hasn't done that somewhere. Or talked them out of something, themselves out of something. Trust in ourselves needs to be taken with caution. We need that evidence there. Trust others with caution and wisdom. For all have sinned. Full and sure the glory of God. There's plenty of people in this room I trust for certain things, because I've seen their character and their skill level. But it doesn't mean they can't make mistakes or they don't have troubles too. What's the evidence that we can trust the other person too? What's their motivation involved in all this? What's their character like? So trust is something we should do with care. If God himself, who is absolutely perfect and absolutely trustworthy, says, I will give you some evidence before I expect you to step out in faith and trust this, maybe we should expect that of ourselves and of others too. Trust God with the things outside of our space. As I sat thinking about trust and the story of Joseph, as he stepped out in trust, The next part of the story where Joseph turns up is the angel comes and says, Joseph, get to Egypt tonight. Get going. Get cracking. Now. And he does. And then it says, and Herod ordered all the children in Bethlehem, boys under the age of 2, to be killed. Oh my goodness. Is that horrific or what? If you were Joseph, and 3 months later as you're in Egypt and you hear that story, is there anything you're struggling with? I should have gone and told those people and helped them escape. Oh, this and that. The weight of the other thing that happened would be horrific. But if you'd gone to every house in Bethlehem and said, we've got to get out of here and let's all move, and we've got 100 kids, families trying to move that night, do you think the soldiers would have caught them? It's horrific. But God said to Joseph, I want you to get up, take your wife and your baby, and you go. And Joseph did that. Joseph trusted with what he was given. He was not given the rest of Bethlehem to look after. Yes, horrible things happen. People make evil choices. Youch. We cannot sort all that out in one sermon. But we know it happens. Bondi. A week and a bit ago, a couple of people made a horrific choice. And we can all go with the questions, why didn't God stop that? Why didn't? And God says, they're not your questions. They're not the ones I'm answering. He calls us each to be what we're called to be. In that place, I'm sure there's more than one story, but there's two stories that struck me. The guy who hid behind a car reached, chased out and tackled one guy, took the gun off him and got shot 4 times or something. That's the guy that we want to remember. Why he did it, who he was, how that all works, I don't know. But when he was in the opportunity, he happened to be there. And what did he do? We went, that person is killing innocents. I will do what I can to reach in and stop that. He's a hero. Thank God for men like that. There was a young girl. Saw 2 kids there just screaming, and the mother had been shot screaming, so she dived on top of them, a Jewish girl, hid them under her body and started saying, you've got to say with me the Shema. The Lord our God is one. Hang on to me and say that. And she got shot in the leg. She did not lay there and say, Jesus is Lord and those things. But I don't doubt that Jesus knows her name. We don't go around looking for where that happens. But when she was in that situation where she dived out and put her trust in God and said, we hang on to God in this situation. I don't know what things we're going to face this week. But I cannot fix Ukraine. I cannot fix Palestine. I cannot fix my daughter's head. But I choose to trust God. And do the things I can with what he lays in front of me. And I trust God with the other things. You think, what about those little kids? I cannot believe that when they opened their eyes, there isn't a standing because in heaven there's no time. And Jesus looked at them and says, the Jesus reaches out his hands with the handprints in them and says, come to me. I know you died. At that point. And I know it was horrible. And I know it was horrible for your families. But I've paid for that. And your eternity is okay. I don't know what it was like for those parents that had their children taken away screaming from them and killed. That's just horrific that I can't think about too much. And I don't expect you to. But I trust God that met those parents in that space too. And he hasn't asked me to do that, but I choose to trust him with the things he has asked me to do. Trust is what's in front of you. What has God placed there? do that. Yes, of course we pray for Ukraine. Of course we pray for Israel. Of course I pray for my daughter that I can't fix. I pray for my brother Graz that I can't fix. But that prayer is part of that is I put it in trust in God's hands and know that he can do what he's going to do and that it's going to work well. The third thing that struck me was how amazing is it that God puts trust in us? What's that song say? All my life I've been a simple carpenter. How can I raise a king? And in a sense, God's looking, going, Joseph, I didn't expect you to raise a king. I expect you to raise a carpenter. I'll make him a king. Raise him up. Be a good father. Teach him things. I'll do the bits that I've got to do, but you be a father. And he did. God trusts us. How amazing is that? But he empowers us when he does it. He gives us doable tasks. He didn't say, Joseph, go raise a king. He said, Joseph, raise a young man as a tradesman. He didn't say, Mary, raise a Messiah. He said, Mary, go be mum and raise his child. He gives people tasks that are within their ability, their shape, and what he's made them to be, and then he empowers them. He didn't say, Elijah, go and make stop the rain. He said, go and tell them, I'm stopping the rain. He didn't say, Elijah, go and start the rain. He said, go and Elijah, go and tell them, I'm stopping the rain, starting the rain again. He didn't say, Elijah, go and light the fire. He said, go and tell them that I will light the fire. What God entrusts us with, he will enable us to do. And you see, teaching children is often a lot harder than doing it yourself. But when you see that child get it and the joy on their face when they've been able to do something, it's cool. That's what God wants in us. Look for what God is asking. Not just what you think it is. And as I thought about that, I went, be encouraged that God is using you, but also look to see what God is doing. Sometimes when we went to Woorabinda, we went up there to build a fence. We didn't finish the fence, but I believe one of the things God was doing in Woorabinda was helping it, wanting us to help teach and encourage some of the builders, the Christians up there to get alongside Rodney and remind him that God's involved, to grow us in our faith, to remember that God's in the business of people, not getting a building done or a song written or those things. They're good things and he does those, but most times they're about helping us or helping others grow. And so when we're working with others, there are times when you just got to do the job because it's a hurry and there's other things. But there are times when it's, hang on, I'm here to help this person grow in Christ and in their life, not just to get the job done. That's why God trusts us with something, because he's shaping and building us up. So as I thought about this, I want you to be encouraged that as ordinary as we all are, or as incredibly talented as you might be, God trusts you with some things because he's growing you and he wants you to have the joy of succeeding in something with his help. How cool is that? I saw this quote last night and I just had to check it in. You worry too much for someone who God has never failed. And honestly, I need to be called out like that. Sorry, Mark, you didn't get that nice, caring pastor. He put this quote up. But that quote is not just for you lot. I better sit there. God has never failed me. I choose to trust him and the shape he wants to work it out. I think the strongest prayer I've ever prayed in a single phrase with the complete honesty is, God, I have no idea what you're doing, but I trust you. Your will be done. Lord God, thank you that you called Joseph to trust and Mary to trust. Thank you that you gave them enough evidence to be able to go, yep, it's worth trusting you. Thank you that you, in all your amazingness, trust us with some jobs too. Lord, we stand with this one. God, sometimes we don't have any idea what you're doing, but we choose to want to trust you. Your will be done. Help us to see what you're doing and see the bit you want us to do and to focus on that. To trust you to empower us, to trust you to guide us, and to trust you with the stuff that's not ours to carry. Lord, we commit these weeks ahead to you in Jesus' name. Amen. Thank you.